painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with today's Artbeat.
On this episode of Artbeat, we visit with Winona native Sean McGuire, an author of young adult fiction that blends contemporary settings with a touch of magic. Sean's female characters go through realistic challenges. What gives the books a hint of magic are the wishes that come into play. Today we'll visit with this author about how Star Wars and a writing assignment in school started it all for her. She'll also share with us her process, what it's like to be a self-published author, and more. I'm Terry Tenseth, and you're listening to Artbeat. Sean McGuire is with me. She is an author of a couple different novels. Young adult, I believe, is your genre.
Right.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, any adult can also read these and enjoy them as well.
You know, I've heard that it's like 50-50 with young adult novels. They're 50% teens, 50% adults enjoy them. So yeah, anybody can read my books and love them.
Now, you're kind of in a fantasy genre, or how would you describe it?
I would describe it more as contemporary with fantasy elements. It's contemporary settings, contemporary issues, but there are wishes that are granted. And so that kind of puts it into the fantasy element area.
Great. Before we dig into that, let's find out where you're from. Now, in childhood, you kind of hopped around. You were in Texas and Illinois for a while, correct?
Right. My dad was going to college, and as he moved on to the next level of graduation, we moved around, and he got his first jobs in Illinois, and so that's where we lived. My brother was born there, and then we moved here to Winona, and so I was in first grade when we moved here.
And all the way through high school, then?
All the way through high school, yep.
Great. Now, I understand that Winona helped inspire you a little bit.
Oh, the teachers at both the middle school. Well, it was junior high then. I don't know if they still call it junior high or if it's middle school.
Ah, who knows?
Yeah. Different areas, different terms. Absolutely. He was either eighth or ninth grade. Mr. Van Dynes, he was also the tennis coach, I believe, at the middle school then. But he was the English teacher, and he is the one that really got me going. He assigned a poem to us, and I went home, I wrote the poem, it just kind of poured out of me, and I thought, this is cool, I can do this, I can write. But he was inspirational because he was the kind of teacher that would, to make a point, he would stand on top of his desk. And that always grabbed our attention, obviously.
I would hope so.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. Mr. Van Dynes was huge. And then Ms. Jensen at senior high, she was the creative writing teacher. And she just had a way. I mean, I think, you know, different kids connect with different teachers. And I definitely connected with her. She just had this calm way of teaching and inspiring. And yeah, I mean, she had us write, you know, any topic. But I remember especially writing, not knowing what to write about. She assigned us just an open topic one day. You got 30 minutes free write, and I had no idea what to write about. And so I wasted the first 10 minutes of the 30 minutes sitting there going, what am I going to write about? And finally, I thought, okay, I got to put something on paper. So I wrote about not knowing what to write about. And it was just kind of freeing. And I thought, okay, cool, I can free write too. That's awesome. So yeah, the teachers here, the atmosphere here, everything. Winona's a great place.
What about Star Wars?
Oh, Star Wars. Star Wars, that would have been, oh, back in the 19-somethings. My cousin and I absolutely loved Star Wars. We were huge fans, and we would go to the movies, and this was at one of the old theaters that had the balconies. So we'd pay for the ticket, we'd go see the film, and then we'd go upstairs, which is where the bathrooms were. And we'd use the bathrooms, and we'd sneak into the balcony, and we'd see the movie a second time. So we, not that I encourage that, but so we always got two first when we go to the movies. But yes, we'd go to the movies, we'd watch, and then we'd go home, and we'd write our own episodes because we loved it so much, and we couldn't wait for the next movie to come out. It was way too long in between then. So
any similarities between the two that when you wrote, or no?
No.
No, completely.
So. Yeah.
Excellent.
So did you pursue then after high school writing a degree in that, or what did you go towards?
I went to Concordia College in Moorhead, and I I knew English had to happen. So I got the English. I don't actually know if they had a creative writing degree, but they had an English with a writing emphasis. So that was, I double majored. So that was one of my majors. And then I also majored in business administration. And it's funny because at the time, no one asked me, are you going to be a writer? It was, okay, you got this English degree, so you'll be a teacher, you'll be a journalist. And neither of those really appealed to me. At the time, it never, ever, ever occurred to me that you could write books for a living. And I don't know why, but it just never did, you know. And I read all the time. I don't know where I thought all those books came from, but, you know, so be it.
And then you started writing Sticks and Stones.
Yes.
Right? And then Break My Bones. Mm-hmm. So when was that?
Oh, boy. Sticks and Stones started, it was like 8 or 9 years ago. And it was just this idea. It started with this, wouldn't it be cool if an imaginary friend came to life and what could happen? And, you know, stories in the writer's mind, they just get bigger and they compound and they grow and they grow. And I thought, okay, well, how would an imaginary friend come to life? Well, she could make a wish and a genie could come and she could grant this wish. And that's basically what started Sticks and Stones. But I can't even remember how many titles it had had, but it started out as a middle grade novel. So for, you know, 10, 12, 13 year olds. And it was okay, but there was something missing. And so I just set it aside. And a number of years later, I thought, you know, it was a story that kept talking to me. You know, it could come back to me, come back, let's do more. And as I started writing, it started coming to life, but there was still something missing. And I thought, okay, now what? What is wrong? Well, you hear authors talk about their characters speaking to them, and mine definitely do, especially Desiree, the genie in my story. She was very, very vocal, and she kept telling me, I got a lot to say. I got a whole lot to say. I don't want to be a minor character. I need a major starring role in this book. And so when I started writing things from her point of view, the story just came to life for me. And that's when it turned into book two, and then book three is coming in January, and then 4 and 5 will come soon.
So for a while, 8 or 9 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, boom!
And then all of a sudden, yeah, I don't know what was missing. Yeah, you just got to let it sit and simmer, I guess, for a while sometimes.
Well, let's talk about the process when you write.
Okay.
Because you said you had to walk away from it, but
right.
Once you get the train on the track, so to
right.
speak, what is it? Do you carve time out? Do you put note cards everywhere like some people do? Or how do you go about it?
Well, the best thing for me, it takes me forever to write a first draft if I don't just blast through it. So what has really been helpful for me is when my husband and my younger son go off to scout camp for a week in the summer.
Nice.
I clear the schedule. I mean, I pre-bake food so I don't have to take time to cook. I don't do anything. I don't get out of my pajamas. I just stay in the house and I live in that world for the whole week and I just blast through it. And I can get probably 75% of the book written, the first draft written in that 1 week. Some of it is good and it stays, and some of it is really bad, but at least by the end of that week, I know what the story is, and then I can go back and fix it. But what I do, I'm really a visual writer. I know some authors like to have music playing. I can't have music, well, I can't have lyrics playing. I can listen to instrumentals, but not lyrics. That distracts me. To me, I'm very visual, so what I do is I go and I get teen magazines, so 17, Cosmo, whatever, all the teen magazines, and I just flip through them, and if a picture pops out to me, I'll rip it out, and I'll set it in a stack. And I just don't even think about the process. I just do it. And pretty soon, I'll have a number of stacks for each of the characters. And then when I go back and I look at the pictures, there's the character. I don't know how it works, why it works, but it does. So then I cut the little pictures out, and I paste them on a piece of paper, and I hang them on the wall over my desk. So when I'm working on a character, I can look up at the pictures, and it kind of puts them right there for me.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, really. I like that.
So what's your turnaround time been like now?
Well, the first two books came out pretty fast, but I had Sticks and Stones was written when I had started writing Break My Bones. So those were able to come out within a couple months of each other.
Great.
I can probably write a first draft in a month, maybe two. I haven't started writing book four yet, but I plan to now after the holidays are over. I've committed to having it come out in June. So I can do a book in 6 months without too much problem.
Are you working with a publisher?
No, I have self-published. I've tried for a number of years to get into the traditional world. And I am not opposed to that at all. And I have no beef against the traditional world. But my books are a little different than others. I think it's the mix of the contemporary with the fantasy that puts them into a sort of area that the traditional publishers don't quite know what to do with it. They don't know where to shelve it. So I thought, well, you know, this is the story that I need to tell and the way I need to tell it. So I decided to self-publish. And it's been a lot of work, but it's been great because I'm kind of a control freak and I like being able to have control over everything in the story.
I can imagine the editing process is pretty nerve-wracking for a lot of people. Yeah.
I've heard horror stories. So
that's great. Well, you seem to tackle hard topics in the books and female leads.
Yeah, right now they're all female main characters.
Okay, so let's talk about those hard topics and what you're introducing into the book and how to make it not too dark.
Okay, well, I read a blog post a number of years ago, and I can't remember where it was or who the author of the post was, but he talked about finding something to identify with in your story, something. Any little thing, it doesn't have to be the main theme of the story, but any little bit that you connect with and then grow from that. So that's what I do. I find something in Sticks and Stones. 10 years ago in November, my niece was killed when she was crossing the street. Way back then, I knew that I would write a story about a family member death, and that's what has happened in Sticks and Stones. Mandy, the main character, is dealing with the death of her older sister that happened when she was very young. So that's the heavy topic in Sticks and Stones. I temper it with humor. I mean, Desiree, my genie, she calls herself a wish mistress. She is a hippie that came straight out of the 60s and 70s, and she is just a riot. She is hilarious, and she's fun, and she's laid back and easy, and everybody loves Desiree. And so that is where I temper that heaviness with the humor.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, because otherwise it just gets too dark.
It is. It's too much. Too much to read about. Yeah.
So you cover dating, right?
Dating violence in book two.
Okay. Right. So you kind of step them into that.
Right. Right.
Why do you think it's so important to talk about these topics?
Oh, my gosh. Well, obviously the whole thing with the NFL right now is just huge.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the more we talk about it, I mean, knowledge is power. The more you talk, the more you learn, the more you know what to do when you're face-to-face with that situation. And especially, I don't want to say especially girls. I mean, I have two sons. They need to know how to deal in a situation, too, because, I mean, guys are not immune
to
abuse, you know. So, but it's just so important. And, you know, knowing that you're not alone, if you're going through that, it's huge to know that there's somebody else out there that understands, you know. And I'm hoping that maybe you can see that when you read my book. Maybe a kid out there who is suffering that kind of abuse, or maybe not even that kind. Maybe they just are feeling alone in the world, and they can identify with one of the characters of having things not go the way you wish they would, you know. And hopefully that'll maybe inspire someone, maybe help someone. That would be a dream for me if that would happen.
Is it hard for you to write about those topics? Do you have to kind of like sit on it a little bit, walk away, come back?
Okay. There are a couple scenes. There's usually a scene in each book where I just cry the whole way through. And every time, there's a few scenes that it doesn't matter how many times I read those scenes, I still break down crying. It's just, you know, it's that kind of an emotional connection that I have to these characters. They're as real to me as my boys are. You know, they're just the genie, Desiree. I feel like she is two steps behind me all the time. I feel like she is always there with me. They've just become that real, which is, I suppose, really weird, but kind of cool at the same time.
So how does the family view you taking the time to do all the writing? Do they know when mom's in the zone and they leave you alone? Or
Yeah, they kind of know. I sometimes I just close the door, and they know if that door's closed, you better be bleeding or on fire if you're going to open my door. That's the rule.
That's great. We talked about your process.
Mm-hmm.
We know about what you like to write.
Right.
What do you like to read?
It depends on my mood at the time. I blame a lot of it on being Gemini. I just have so many different, you know, likes. I like horror. I grew up reading Stephen King and Danielle Steele, and people look at me like, how can you even put a sentence together? And that is what you read. But, you know, my grandma used to read the romance. My dad would read the horror. And so I just did both. So sometimes I like a good, I like to be scared. Sometimes I like just a nice cozy, you know, I like women's fiction sometimes because they usually end happy, usually. I'm not that big into sci-fi, so I don't read a lot of that, but I'm open to just about any kind of genre because you can, as an author, you can learn from everybody. You know, there are genius people out there, and I just take what take what I can from everybody. So yeah, it depends on my mood.
What makes a good book?
Complex characters to me. I love a character that has a lot going on inside, and they act different on the outside. A lot of meat to it, you know, a lot of tension, a lot of drama, a lot of, you know, a nice fast-moving plot. But to me, it's always about the character first.
Yeah, you got to have a good one, otherwise.
Right.
Yeah.
And that can be hard. I mean, that's why I do the pictures and I sit down and I live with them for a little while. And the more I write, it usually takes me about 3 chapters before I really start to understand what my story is about. And a lot of times those 3 chapters don't make the final cut. But it takes me about that long to start getting into it, to understand really what the characters are about, what the story is about, you know, that kind of get going that way.
When you said pictures, I'm thinking of the cover art of your books because it's very feminine and beautiful and whimsical looking. Yeah. So who's doing that for you?
Oh my gosh. Her name is Carrie Clowitter. She is out of somewhere in Michigan. I found her on the internet. She has a portfolio on her website, artbycarrie.com, if anybody's looking for a cover artist. She's genius. The process working with her for the covers is so much fun. She is easy and patient, and, you know, it doesn't matter how many tweaks I want done, she'll do them. With the very first cover, she said, go on the internet, find covers that you like, that you feel fit the genre and the tone of your book, and we'll start with that. So there's a series out called Splintered, and I'm blanking on the author's name right now, but it's a retelling of Alice in Wonderland, and the covers struck me immediately. So if you go out and you look for Splintered, you'll see the similarity between that one and all my covers.
Yeah, beautiful work. Yeah, so yeah. I'm glad you found somebody that you were able to balance with.
Oh, she's just... And it's funny because when I first contacted her, I didn't know the timing yet of how, when to get the editor, when to get the cover artist, when to do all of these things. So I contacted her and she was booked. And, you know, I had already committed to a deadline or a release date for the first book. She was able to squeeze me in. It only takes her about 2 or 3 days to come up with a cover.
Wow.
So she was able to squeeze me in and I knew I had to go with her, you know, so it's been great.
You talked about working with an editor.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go?
It goes okay. It's you have to find the right person, and that's the key. Someone who understands what you're trying to do with your stories. And with the first book, I used a friend, and she did an okay job, but I don't think she quite got what I was trying to do. And then I met another person at a conference or a workshop that I went to. Her name is Bree, and funny enough, she said her parents, I was listening to her workshop and she said, well, I grew up with hippies. My parents are hippies. And I'm like, oh my God, you're a freelance editor and you understand hippies. That's my genie. I have to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been great. She gets it. And she is as passionate about these issues that I write about as I am. And so it's a great mix. It really is.
Yeah. Sometimes finding that, otherwise it can be a real tug of war.
Oh my gosh.
Is what I've heard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes the editing process takes longer than actually writing the book.
It can. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, we've streamlined it pretty well. I won't turn in sloppy copy to her. You know, I want it to be in my mind ready to go. But she always finds little things. She'll find, you know, scenes that need to be moved, or maybe it needs to be shortened or expanded even. You know, I always think I write too long, but every now and then I'll gloss over something. She'll know you need to dig into that a little more and just make it another paragraph longer. And so it's great. I think we work really well together.
Thank God for people like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's one thing when you're writing for yourself, another thing when you got to write for another person.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. You don't always see, you don't see what's there. And sometimes you think you see what's not there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there anything we've left out that you feel like you'd like to voice?
I don't know. I did a reading at the Bookshelf here.
Right.
Yeah. And the Bookshelf is a great little shop. It's a little indie bookstore. Being an indie writer, I love the indie bookstores. So, you know, Barnes & Noble is great. Amazon is great. But, you know, get out there and support the indie bookshops. That's really important because there's nothing better than being able to walk into a little store, browse the shelf, pick up a book, feel it, read it, hold it in your hands. I love ebooks too, but there's nothing like the feel of a book. So get out there and, you know, support those little indie shops. They're important. That's a big thing. It really is.
Thanks. Again, the next book is coming out January
24th, yep. Which happens to be my older son's birthday. So
easy date to remember then.
Yes, and that's why I chose it, that's the great thing about being an indie author. I can change dates, you know, I can change anything I want at the drop of a hat. So yes, it'll be out on January 24th, and it'll be called Never Hurt Me.
Now, if people want to find out more information about you, where can they go?
They can go to my website, mm-hmm. which is www.sean-mcguire.com. Or I have a Facebook author page, Sean McGuire Author on Facebook. You can find me there.
And you spell Sean S-H-A-W-N.
Right. There aren't very many female Seans out there that I have met. So yes, yeah. I'm a little unusual, I suppose.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Sean McGuire for visiting with us on ArtBeat. More information on Sean can be found at www.sean-mcguire.com. I'm Terry Tunseth, and you've been listening to ArtBeat.
ArtBeat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.